Welcome to Sports Connections with David Smale, a podcast that brings fun and interesting connections throughout sports. As an author and sports journalist, David has been interviewing fascinating people in sports for more than 40 years. Now here's your host, David Smale.
Bill Snyder was named head football coach at Kansas State on November 24, 1988, inheriting what many consider to be the worst college football program in America. He said at his introductory press conference, "I think that the opportunity for the greatest turnaround in college football exists here today, and it's not one to be taken lightly." He didn't take it lightly. He resolutely, brick by brick, built the program into a regional and national power. After Coach Snyder won one of seven Conference Coach of the Year awards, Oklahoma head coach Barry Switzer said, "He's not the coach of the year. He's not the coach of the decade. He's the coach of the century." I'm not going to list all his achievements because that would not leave any time for me to talk with Coach Snyder, but let me mention a few. When he earned his 40th victory, he became the winningest coach in K-State history, a mark he kept breaking until he retired with 215 victories. Led the Wildcats to their first conference title in 69 years in 2003, their first bowl victory, part of 11 consecutive bowl appearances, their first 10-win season, their first 11-win season, something they achieved in four straight seasons and six times in 7 years, and their first number one national ranking energy that he used in his 27 years as the head coach at Kansas State. So we'll ask a few football questions, but then we'll let Coach tell us about things he is passionate about today. Coach, welcome to Sports Connections.
Well, thank you very much, David. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Let's start a little bit with football, as we discussed, and then we'll get into some things that you're passionate about now. When you retired following the 2005 season, you said you were ready to try something different, but then you came back. What did you do during those 3 years to occupy your time?
Well, numerous things, some of them, a number of them that I had been invested in prior to the retirement. First and foremost was family. Mm-hmm. You try to do as much as you can because you've been away from them for so long. Coaching, whether it's at Kansas State or any place else, is mm-hmm. Very time consuming and takes away from family life. And obviously your family is extremely important. We have, Sharon and I have, five children and, at the time had great, eight grandchildren and four grandchildren with two more on the way. So, we had a substantial family. Mm-hmm. Fortunately at that time, most were, in and around, the Manhattan area. As time has gone on, they're off in other portions of the world, of the country. We spent some time with, we didn't travel a great deal. We took a couple of Nike trips, which takes you into a variety of different places in the world that you may not have seen before and enjoy. And it gave me an opportunity, more me than Sharon, but it gave me an opportunity to visit with, a lot of coaches that, that I've always admired over the years and be able to spend some time with them. And I was invested also in some entities that I felt were productive for the state of Kansas, mm-hmm. the Kansas Mentors, the Kansas Leadership Center in Wichita, the Kansas Leadership Studies Program here at Kansas State, some of the youth groups here in the community, a variety of different things like sure. that were of interest to me.
Okay. And, you mentioned early on in your time at Kansas State that you came for the football program, and I might be messing that one up, but the part I remember specifically is you stayed for the people. And it sounds like all of those things were about helping people and developing skills that they had in them to help them improve?
Well, you know, the people in our program, the people in at the university, the people in the community, the people in the state and Kansas Staters, you know, all around the country have been very gracious to me and my family. And they were, you know, at the outset way back in 89. And there's a sense of loyalty that goes with that. And
sure.
I've always felt that. And, you know, the reason for coming back, it took me a while when I retired the first time to get acclimated to it.
Yeah,
probably about 6 months. And at that point in time, I was perfectly comfortable with it, or for the most part. But there was a charge, so to speak. A lot of people asked me to consider, Dr. John Weepald had asked me to return. And it took me a long time to say yes, quite a few months, in fact. But there was, which I greatly appreciated and was humbled by, an outgrowth of Kansas State people who asked that I do that. And so consequently, visiting with my family and made the decision to do exactly that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Coach. I remember the press conference when it was announced that you were coming back, and you appeared to a lot of us, talking to my fellow media members who were there, you appeared to a lot of us that you appeared younger and more energetic. So how did those 3 years away rejuvenate you?
Well, I probably got some sleep. probably helped a little bit. How much, I don't really know. I don't know. I didn't feel a great deal different. I did feel, you know, a little bit more rested, and you know, the aspect of having to deal with so many aspects of it, which most people are unfamiliar with.
Right.
There is so much there that it's so time consuming, and it's kind of nerve wracking sometimes. Or I say sometimes, often.
Yeah.
So it's there is consistently something 24/7 that is weighing on your mind, and so that kind of, you know, takes its course and wears on you a little bit, and so that didn't exist during those 3 years. So, you know, why I chose to invite it back, I'm not sure.
And when you came back, a lot of it's not totally uncommon for a coach to come back. But generally when coaches come back, they come back for 1 or 2 or 3 years. You came back, if my math is correct, for 11 more seasons. Is that correct?
I'm not sure exactly what it was, but pretty close.
How were you different as a head coach the second time around?
Well, I'm not sure that I was different. I've never seen myself as different. Doesn't mean that I'm not or wasn't open to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've always been open to change if it's the right change.
Right.
So I don't know that I was a great deal different. I think as it got towards the last year or two, there were times that I felt as though maybe I wasn't quite as invested as I needed to be, or as I had been over the years.
It seemed like from a, you know, one level removed, or maybe two levels removed, that you delegated more the second time around. Is that fair?
That's a fair statement. It is. Yes. And it gradually evolved into that as we started the second tenure.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The thing that, other than turning a, let's be honest, bad program into a very, very good program, the thing that you are probably best known for is your work ethic and your meticulous attention to detail. Where did that come from?
Well, I think probably my mother. I've always thought that it was something that I possessed at a young age, I believe. And my mother was I was an only child, single parent home. My mother worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, saved every penny she could to put me through college. She was, as I said, you know, a hard worker, demanding, caring, amazing woman. So taught me, you know, an awful lot, I think, in a variety of different ways that were things that were beneficial in my life and things that were beneficial in my career field.
One of the things I am releasing a podcast later today with Steve Miller, who hired you. And yeah. I talked to him about what he saw in you, and he couldn't pinpoint anything, but he just talked about, and I'm not going to give away the details, so hopefully people will tune into that one as well. But he talked about specific things that just led him to believe that you had the, I don't want to say toughness, but the tenacity to attack what was wrong at Kansas State, that you weren't going to just settle for, well, this is as good as we can get. We're not going to try any harder. He saw something that you just, pardon me, that you just weren't going to settle for anything but your best effort and the best effort of the people around you. Do you remember those encounters with Steve?
Well, I do. I remember a few of them. I remember numerous conversations with Steve in which, you know, he'd ask if I would be interested in the position. And I indicated we still had maybe three games to go at University of Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to interfere with, you know, the program at that time. So I indicated that, you know, that I wasn't interested on numerous occasions. And finally, you know, one day, Steve Miller and Jim Epps appeared at our door in Iowa City, Iowa, and came in and visited for an extensive period of time. And I continued to say no. And Steve asked if we had an extra bedroom.
Speaking of persistent, huh?
Steve was all of that. He was, yeah. He was the worldwide leader in persistence, but they finally left and called again, and I said I would come and visit. They while they were at our home, they said you don't have to do anything. You have the job if you'd like the job, you know. And they had probably already had 25 people turn them down, I would think. So they were, it was easy for them to make the offer. So I did visit and spent some time with a large number of people. You're familiar with the Legends Room in Brantridge, and that room was full of people from all walks of campus life, and all sharing, you know, why they thought it was appropriate for me to be there. And I eventually asked John Weefald if he would, or Steve, one of the two, I don't remember, you know, if they would provide me a person to take me out onto the campus and leave me for an hour and then come back and get me. And a nice young lady drove me on the campus, let me off, came back in an hour to pick me up during the time I was there. And this is, you know, this is in the winter time and there's snow on the ground and it's, you know, freezing temperatures. And I stood on the campus and stopped people as they were moving across the campus and stopped and asked if I could ask some questions. I didn't tell them who I was or why I was there, and they didn't know who I was. And it was amazing. I asked questions about the university, about the community, about the football program, about the athletic program, about students, about faculty, you know, anything and everything that I could think of. And after an hour, a young lady picked me up, took me back to Bramlage, and I told John Weef all the time, I said, I need to go home and spend some time with my wife and family and talk about this, but I believe I'm interested. And he said, why is that? And I said, he said, what, you know, what changed your mind? And I said, the people. And it was about all those people that I visited with. There might have been 60 or 70 people, and nobody, not one of them, got in a hurry because it was cold. No one said, excuse me, I need to get, you know, here or there. And I was shivering, and so were they for the most part. But they all took whatever time it took and answered questions very honestly for me. And I assumed very honestly. And I appreciated the people. And that's where that phrase came from. You know, we came because of the people, stayed because of the people, and returned because of the people.
And I appreciate that. I had heard that story obviously many times before, but it's always good to hear. And if you remember the names of those 60 or 70 people, I want to send them thank you notes for bringing you to Kansas State. Let's get into some of the programs that you helped develop. Some of them, during your first retirement, and many since then, that have become your primary focus. So let's start with Kansas Mentors, and I'm basically going to introduce a program and let you run with it. So start with Kansas Mentors.
Well, Kathleen Sebelius. I mean, there's a number of stories there. Became a good friend, Sharon and I, and she asked me about initiating that program, and the desire was to benefit mentoring, you know, throughout the state of Kansas, and it was my goal during that period of time to develop mentoring programs in every school system in the state of Kansas. The initial thought behind Kansas Mentors was just to be able to go out and assist, you know, all the mentoring groups within the state. I think we had association with probably about 250 mentoring groups when we initiated Kansas. There's so many wonderful groups out there in the state of Kansas that truly assist young people in their development and their growth, help working parents, etc. the number of schools that we were able to put a program in, and it was their work, the school's work, but we were providing a method by which they could develop mentoring within their schools. And it began to grow a great deal. And again, we didn't want to interfere with, boys and girls clubs and the Big Sisters and all the other mentoring groups that existed, but we did want to be able to help. And so that was the intent, and that was the direction that, that we took.
Okay. The next one is the Kansas State University School of Leadership. And you mentioned to me Snyder Leadership Fellows. Is that one thing? Is the Snyder Leadership Fellows part of the Kansas State School of Leadership?
It is.
Okay.
just been developed in maybe the last 4 or 5 years. The leadership school really is significant to me. I was involved with it many years ago, you know, now maybe 15 years ago or so. And there was a gentleman here on campus at the time, Bob Shoup. And so he and another wonderful lady were teaching leadership classes. Mm-hmm. And they were teaching the classes in a two-bedroom home that sat directly across from the campus. Mm-hmm. And I think the largest class maybe had 12 students in it. I don't recall exactly. But they felt strongly about the development of the leadership program. And they initiated it by writing a book, and they authored the book, Bill Snyder, Leadership Lessons. And I, going through the interviews for that book, I really developed a strong interest. And we didn't have a leadership college or leadership program at the university as mm-hmm. such at the time. And the two authors wanted to develop that. And so they began to promote, and I tried to assist them with that. And eventually the outgrowth was the School of Leadership at Kansas State, and then its own structure. And then the largest enrollment of any major field of study in at Kansas State University. So it was really a great deal of growth. And my feeling was always, as was theirs, that, you know, we didn't want a major field of study in leadership. Very few people would, you know, move in that direction. But what we did want was a minor in leadership, because everybody, regardless of what your career field
right. may be,
everybody can profit from that. And certainly for a student graduating from college, it's a great look on your transcript, you know, to have a minor in leadership. So that was the direction of that program. And obviously the outgrowth of it has been amazing. The School of Leadership Studies then developed, came to me and asked about having a program defined as the Snyder Leadership Fellows Program. And it was to bring together, you know, a group of somewhere in the vicinity of 45 to 50 graduating or to graduate seniors who had invested in the leadership studies and who had the capacity to create quality leadership within communities that they would move into. So it was just to enhance, you know, leadership mm-hmm. skills and find a direction to utilize that leadership and the capacity to lead in communities and try to encourage, you know, each of them to settle in there wherever they went after graduation, to settle into leadership roles within their communities, you know, in a variety of different ways, and hoping that a large number of them, which was the case, but a large number of them would go into Kansas communities mm-hmm. to help with the leadership in the state of Kansas. You know, the state of Kansas population was going down, and some small communities were beginning to dry up, as you would say, et cetera. So that was the nature of that program, and still is.
I'm sensing a theme, Coach, that leadership is important to you. we've known each other for about 30 years, and I've always admired that about you, is that you never sought the credit yourself, but you sought to develop, whether it was through these programs or through your football team, you sought to develop leaders. You didn't go after the five-star recruits who thought they knew everything. You went after the two- and three-star recruits that had the work ethic that you reflected and had that you knew were coachable, and you could teach leadership to them. So I'm thinking of guys like Brent Venables, who came and became a leader under you. And there's so many Brent Venables out there. He's well known because of his success as a coach. But is that fair to say that you sought, when you were recruiting players, you sought leaders and coachable players more than maybe more than talent?
Well, you know, that was important to me. You know, I think when we initially came, it was our sense, I was kind of convinced that we should go after the very best athletes that are out there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, five stars and four stars were, you know, the interest. But what I found out very quickly is five stars and four stars weren't very interested in Kansas State University.
Right.
And we were spending an awful lot of time attempting to embrace young people that just didn't have an interest in Kansas State and were interested in the extremely high profile programs. So I've, you know, referred back to what has always been important to me. And, you know, certainly we want fine athletes. Mm-hmm. But what was important to me is that in addition, they needed to possess a value system that was extremely important in growing up and becoming successful and providing leadership and being a strong representative of themselves, their family, the football program, the university, the community, et cetera.
And speaking, excuse me, speaking of leadership, I know you are close friends with former U.S. Senator Pat Roberts. Talk about that relationship and his retirement and how you got involved with basically his Senate campaign and the work that he did in the U.S. Senate.
Well, Pat, Pat being a K-Stater and obviously being a major helper for the state of Kansas, mm-hmm. Was you know, back in Kansas a great deal. From Washington. He and I ended up at the same events sometimes for mm-hmm. Kansas State and got to know each other. He was an avid and is an avid football fan and would always come to the games and would always stop by to speak, and we'd spend time together and talk and got to know each other quite well, then communicate on the telephone and texting, etc. And so, you know, we just became good long distance friends in that respect. And when he was here, obviously we'd spend time together. You know, he and his wife, both, you know, really, really special people. And I was, so proud of all the things, certainly that he, you know, embraced our program and would speak to our players and spend time with them as well. But, you know, all the things that he did for the state, for the people of the state, people of Kansas State, and obviously for our nation as well.
And then another friend you developed through the relationship with K-State is K-State alum and former PGA golfer Jim Colbert. Unless you've taken it up recently, you don't play golf. So how did that relationship develop?
Excuse me. Well, I met, if I remember correctly, I met Jim when I was with Ernie Barrett. And we were out, I want to say it was probably in Las Vegas. And Jim had, you know, some courses out in Las Vegas. And Ernie was on a fundraising tour, and I was with him not for fundraising. I've always avoided that. I guess we had lunch together, if I remember correctly now. And that was the first time that I met Jim, as I recall. And we took a liking to each other. And so when Jim would come into Manhattan, he would always, because they still have a place here, mm-hmm. over the hills, and he would come and we'd visit, and he'd stay, half the year out here. And so I'd spend time with him on a regular basis, and with he and Marcia. And he always invited us out to Palm Desert, where they live and have another home. And we would go on occasion, not too often, but mm-hmm. on occasion. And we just came to know each other quite well, became very good friends, still are to this day.
And it's interesting, a lot of people don't know this, I'm sure you do, that Kansas State football is why Jim Colbert is a Kansas State alum rather than Oklahoma State. He had agreed to attend Oklahoma State on a golf scholarship, and they were one of the great golf programs in the country, but he also wanted to play football, and the golf coach there said no. And so he came to Kansas State because the golf coach here, and I don't remember who that was, said, yes, you can play football. And he said he went to practice for about a day, if I remember correctly, and realized that golf didn't hurt nearly as much as football. So he stayed and played only golf at Kansas State. Do you guys ever talk football when you're together?
We do. And I like to talk about his career, but he really was an exceptional high school player. He did awfully well, and he's he enjoyed that, playing the quarterback in the high school. Obviously, golf is he made the right decision.
Yes,
put it that way, quite obviously. And I did, Jim. Encouraged me to to play golf, and I did very, very seldom, but on occasion I would play. I was out in one of the stories. I was in Sharon and I were in out to Colbert's one time, and so I told Colbert, I said, okay, let's go out to the driving range and you teach me the fine points of this game. Mm-hmm. And we went out, and I think we were like 4 or 5 hours, something like that, and it was because I wanted more, teach me more, teach mm-hmm. me more, teach me sure. more. We kept going. It wore Jim out, he loves to tell that story. But the story I tell is he's not a very good teacher because I'm a horrible golfer.
All right, and we want to get back into the last program that I want to talk to you about, the Kansas Leadership Center. And there's that word leadership again. Talk about the Kansas Leadership Center.
Well, that again was a product of Kathleen Sebelius, and she wanted to put a center together to enhance the leadership within each community in the state of Kansas. And that would be the goal or the direction of a leadership center, which is presently in Wichita. Mm-hmm. And she put some quality people. She put me, when I say quality people, in charge of the directorship of that. And I was, she asked me to be on the board of directors. And I, accepted that opportunity. And we have over the years, and I'm not as invested in it now, But over the years, they have done a marvelous job of being able to do exactly what the intent was and go into communities and send groups into communities to help when invited.
Right.
To help each community and develop and enhance their leadership programs, you know, in a variety of different capacities. And it's been, you know, I think highly successful over the years.
That's great. Coach, I know you're very proud of all five of your kids. Those of us who have followed your career as football coach know that Sean was on your team either as a player or as a coach, if not for all 27 years, most of them. Just talk about having him on your staff, having him as, first of all, as a player on your team and then on your staff. And then tell us about how he's enjoying his role at USC.
Well, Sean actually was in the program longer than I was, as a player and administrator and a coach. And I gave him an awful lot of responsibility. So he developed the skills of understanding what all, you know, a head coach has to do and the numerous responsibilities. And he helped, you know, immensely with that. Obviously became our special teams coordinator and was the national special teams coordinator, I think, on several different organizations recognized him, but in two separate years.
Mm-hmm. If I can interrupt you, I mean, the trademark of Kansas State, every time they get even today under Coach Kleiman, every time they get a non-offensive touchdown, we start quoting those stats that K-State leads the nation since, you know, pick a year, with non-offensive touchdowns. So how much of that credit for the special teams, punt returns and kickoff returns, goes to Sean, and how much will you accept?
Well, Sean ran our special teams. I mean, that was his responsibility, and obviously he did quite well with it, as as he has done at USC. You know, two of those ball games that they won at USC were the result of special teams plays, you know, that created the opportunity for come from behind victories. Mm-hmm. So he's not only a good person, but very productive in what he does. Very fine coach.
So is he enjoying his time at USC?
Well, he is. He's back in Manhattan as we speak. Came back for Christmas and will be here until after the New Year. But he and Wanda are enjoying their time out there. I'm a little envious. He's leasing a home out there, but he's leasing a place that overlooks Catalina Island and the ocean. And
oh,
so
wow.
He can see all that from his backyard. And so they're enjoying that part of it. And he likes the people that he's with at USC and enjoying the program, and they've given him good responsibility, and he's I think taking advantage of the opportunity.
Well, please pass along my regards to Sean. I've always enjoyed visiting with him, and he's always been very gracious to me, as have you. Just talk about the rest of your kids, what your other kids are doing. I know you're very proud of all of them.
Well, I am immensely proud. I don't think anybody could be as fortunate as we have been to have the kind of children and grandchildren that we have. Our next oldest is Shannon. Shannon lives just outside of Dallas now. She has one daughter, Sydney, who happens to be at Michigan State. Her husband is a graduate assistant at Michigan State, and so unfortunately he's getting into, you know, the football world. I'm trying to encourage him to go on and do some other things. He has some skill in some other areas, but Shannon is a very productive individual. She's really gotten into playing golf and playing tennis. She actually was on a tennis team, an adult tennis team down in the Dallas area, and they travel around and play, and she's loving that. Meredith is our third oldest. She also lives in Texas, out in Quitman, Texas, which is east, close to Tyler. Her husband, unfortunately, again, is a football coach and athletic director in the high schools. And they have three children. Meredith was a young lady that was injured in the automobile accident. Right. And I couldn't be more proud. And you asked earlier about, you know, learning about hard work and determination. You know, Meredith, you know, refreshed, not that the others haven't, but in a special way, she certainly brought that front and center as well. Extremely hard worker. She owns and operates her own business. At one time, she owned and operated three businesses.
Wow.
Now she has one. They owned a substantial amount of property, which she saw to, since her husband was coaching, to take care of it, and then raise three children, all of them rugrats, and would drive you bananas, and she managed to you know, raise them, and they're amazing young grandchildren. Ross is our next oldest. Ross played for us here at Kansas mm-hmm. State, as did Sean. Ross, you know, has lived a good outside of Iowa City and Manhattan, lived a number of years in Kansas City and worked in Kansas City, and decided to come back to Manhattan, lives here in Manhattan now. He has a daughter, Alexis, who is a student at Kansas State. Every one of our children went through Kansas State, and every grandchild of college age is in the process, has gone through, or is in the process of going through Kansas State. So it's truly you know, been a K-State family. Our youngest is Whitney. Whitney was an All-American equestrian rider at Kansas State. She went into teaching, taught in the elementary school here in Manhattan. She's married. Her husband is Micah Heidemann, who is a fireman, a very productive fireman here in Manhattan, has moved himself up the ladder. Whitney taught until she was with child, and so we now have another granddaughter who's 18 months, I think, right now, and Whitney has chosen to stay home. So she stepped aside from teaching for a while. So there, and there's a lot more to each of them than that, but that's a quick overview.
Well, thank you for the update. Now, the last time you and I were together face-to-face was probably a year or so ago, and there was a young lady who works for the athletic department. Was that Ross's daughter?
That is... Sydney.
Yeah, I don't remember her name, but she was, you know, she let us in, and we were going to have an event there, and then you came later, and I was remarking to her about how comfortable she was with legendary coach Bill Snyder, and she said, well, he's my grandfather. Very gracious young lady. But
that's Shannon's daughter, Sydney.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the last thing I want to ask you about, Coach, is our mutual friend, Scott Fritchin, worked for PowerCat Illustrated and GoPowerCat.com. You guys are working on a book together that's going to be coming out later in 2021. Just tell us briefly about that book, what the topic is. I'm guessing it has something to do with leadership, but tell us about what that book's about.
Well, in all reality, it's the rest of the story. You know, there's been a number of books out, but they haven't encompassed everything that mm-hmm. has taken place in my life. So really, it's the rest of my life story.
Do you have a title yet?
What was that? Well, I'm hoping that's what it'll be, the rest of the story.
So Paul Harvey doesn't own the rights to to that phrase then?
Well, that's something that a publishing company will decide, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be published through Triumph Books out of Chicago. And what we'll do once we find, I'm friends with people at Triumph Books, and if there is a place to pre-order that, I think it's probably a little early now, but we'll add it to the podcast after the fact so people can order that book through Triumph Books. Well, Coach, it is always a pleasure to visit with you. You've always been very gracious with your time. I appreciate it. I think the first time we spent a great deal of time was back in the summer of 94 after K-State's first bowl game under your leadership. We spent a week, basically 3 hours a day, 5 days for that week. And I got to know you much better and got to appreciate you. And I've always looked back on that fondly, and I appreciate the time that we've had together today.
Well, thank you very much, David. I enjoyed our time together. And once again, wish you a wonderful new year. And everybody's looking to 2021 just to get away from 2020, I think. But been an interesting time, to say the least. But I wish you well.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thanks for listening to Sports Connections with David Smale. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate the show from your favorite podcast platform. You can learn more about David Smale and his work by visiting davidsmalebooks.com. Don't forget to join us weekly for new episodes. Until next time.